All right, all right, all right. All right, this is Watchman on the Wall. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming in for the background. We got Timothy from Texas, and we're going on down there to Atlanta, Georgia, to Block Talk Radio. Our host, Pastor, is Derek Oliver. He is sponsoring Watchman on the Wall. End time, Global Link Ministry. And I've got sitting in the studio and at home is Elder Timothy. He's going to be coming in talking to us on the end time message. Before we get to the end time message, we want to let you know, amen, all the end time that you've been hearing and seeing and witnessing, there's one thing that God done for us that we can escape the wrath to come, and that is Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, suffered and died on Calvary's cross exactly almost 2,000 years ago. God Almighty became flesh, seen of angels, justified by the Spirit, received back up into glory. And he's been gone for 2,000 years. And the Bible talks about the end time period, what would go on just before his return, because he is definitely, absolutely, uniquely, I don't know how to express it, but he is coming back to judge the world in righteousness. And those that don't know him will have to face the living God without a Savior. So what we are doing, we are telling you that you got to have a Savior. You got to know Jesus Christ to escape the wrath to come. And what I mean by that, you must be born again. You must know Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ, at the time of the rapture, there will be many people left here on earth after the rapture, because the rapture will, amen, take us to glory, and the church will not. I'll say it again because I've been hearing a lot of noise in the background. Some say the church is going through the rapture, and some say we're going halfway through the rapture, and then some say he's going to come at the end of the tribulation period. Well, that's false Bible doctrine, because there's only one way Christ expressed it. Apostle Paul expressed it. In a moment, every twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught to meet the Lord in the air. That is the rapture of the church. So that gives us confidence by faith and by the consistent promise that Jesus Christ promised the church. Up on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So when Christ comes, he's going to remove the body of Christ. I didn't say denomination. I didn't say a cult. I said he's going to remove the body of Christ, and those that have been redeemed, washed in the blood, sanctified by the Holy Ghost through the blood of Jesus Christ, will be excommunicated from earth to glory. So to make it plain, the Bible says there is no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. So what we want to do this evening, we're going to talk about a chapter in the Bible that we're living in right now, today. This chapter has been fulfilled. Some of it has been fulfilled, and we're almost at the end where it will be fulfilled. And that is the 37th chapter. The 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel gives us a picture on what's going on in the news today. I mean, it's on the news, brother. Jerusalem is so hot now, amen, you have to get out the kitchen, because what's getting ready to happen is there's going to be a war, and this is going to instigate the return of Jesus Christ, because this is going to be a third world war, and the Bible is going to tell you exactly who is going to be in this war, how long it will last, and what God's going to do to shake the earth to awaken men from their deadness and from their unbelief. God's going to shake the earth so bad that people are going to recognize that there's absolutely, uniquely, there's a God in heaven that who answers and will. He will save you if you amen. Want to be saved. He will save. I know what I'm talking about. You don't have to go. I don't have to go through a theological school to learn this. Amen. I learned this by the experience with Jesus Christ. He will amen. Save your soul. I don't care who you are. what you are, don't care what you done, I don't care how much teaching you done had, Jesus Christ can save your soul, I mean, and do it genuinely. And don't be faking, because a lot of people today, a lot of people are faking salvation. Amen. They talk with their mouth, and they tell you what they did and what they're going, but they ain't living the life. And in order to get to heaven, you must have the life of Jesus Christ living in your heart, in your soul, and in your spirit before the trumpet blow. And when the trumpet blow, you will be changed automatically because you have received Christ. You've been sanctified by the Holy Ghost, and now you're a child of God. So what we're going to do, I'm going to give it over to Brother Tim, my main man. Amen. He is a man of God. I know he's a man of God. I don't have to question him for nothing. Amen, because he comes right from the Word of God. I come right from the Word of God. We got the same spirit. We got the same mind. We speak on the same thing. Jesus Christ is Lord. So right now, just before we go into prayer, after he gets through, we're going to go into prayer, and then we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty, and we're going to come directly from the Word of God. We don't have no crystal ball. I'm not talking to no witch. I'm not talking to no warlock. I'm talking directly from the Word of God, because that's the only thing I'm going to stand in these last and evil days. So what I want, Brother Tim, to come on in here and say what the Lord has laid on his heart. And when he gets through, amen, we're going to get on down the road and let you know how close we are, exactly how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ and the rapture and the tribulation period. Brother Tim, take it away.
Amen, brother. How you doing today? Amen.
How's it going? You doing all right?
Yes. Amen. Good, brother.
Amen.
Amen. All glory be to the Most High. It's good to be back on the earth. Amen. It's good to be sharing the word, amen, of things to come with the family, with the believers. And, amen, as you said, we're getting ready to go home, brother. Amen. I'm ready.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I know that you're ready.
Sir.
Amen. And we are trying
to
the church to get ready.
You telling the truth.
You know, Yes, sir. And you know, it's so funny that you said that, amen, because that's been on my heart all this month and last month, and it just seems like it's just getting, amen, just more and more in my heart and my mind that to get ready, because Christ is getting ready to come back to get the church. And so many people are asleep, amen. People are going back to church. I saw people today walking around with their church suits on and everything. And the first thing that came to my mind, brother, amen, the first thing that came to my mind was, what did the preacher preach?
That's what I want to know.
Amen. Amen. Are they telling the church? Amen. Say again.
That's what I want to know, what they're going to preach. I thought the Spirit is telling me what they're going to preach.
That's right. Right. You know, are we going back to teaching what we taught when we left? Or are we telling people to watch? Because we know
watch
the word says to watch. Watch and pray. That's
watch
what it
and
says.
Pray.
And we are to be looking for the return of our Lord and Savior. And it just makes me wonder, are the preachers preparing the church for the return of Christ? There's going to be so many people that's going to be in shock when Christ comes back to get the church. They are not ready. They're going to still be here, and they're going to be wondering, well, why are they still here, and why are some of the people, amen, why are some people gone?
Uh-huh.
And so we know that Christ said that he told us to watch. Amen. Also,
watch.
We know that Paul talked about, he said, watch. Amen. And then he also told John to tell the seven churches that we ought to be watching and ready for the return of Christ. And so this is so important, and it's not something
yes, it
to
is.
Take lightly, because as you said, amen, there are a lot of people that's thinking, oh, that's not going to be in our lifetime. And so many people are preparing to go through the tribulation. Amen. Well, see, if you prepare to go through the tribulation, then you're not watching. That was the whole
thing
of him telling us to watch. Because if you're watching, you're not preparing to go through the tribulation. You're watching for him to return and to be caught up. Amen. To be raptured into heaven. Amen. So that is what we are waiting for. as the church, we are waiting for Christ to return to get those who believe, for those who love him.
Yes, sir,
amen.
Brother.
So we ought to be prepared. We are preparing those who are listening. Amen. We are praying that you understand salvation, that you understand the plan of salvation and what it means to have salvation. Because as we
said before,
salvation is not an accident. Amen. You're not going to stumble into the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to get into the kingdom of heaven because, amen, Big Mama or Big Daddy believe, amen, they praying for you. That's not how it works. You're going to have to give an account for your own salvation. Amen. You have to answer for the things, amen, in this life, amen, for yourself. Nobody can do that for you. And so that's why it's important that we ought to be watching and praying and waiting on the return of Christ, amen, because we know that time is drawing near. We believe that time is near. Amen. We have acknowledged that we don't know the day or the time, but we know the seasons. Amen. Paul talked about, scripture talked about the seasons that we in.
Yes,
and
sir.
So we can see by the seasons. Amen. And we all know that Paul talked about it over in the book of Thessalonians when he wrote to the Thessalonians. He said that there should be a falling away first.
Away. Yeah.
Amen. That Second Thessalonians, the second chapter, verse 3.
Yes.
It says, let no man deceive you by any means. Amen.
Me.
So what that means is that I don't care who they are. I don't care if he's your pastor. Amen. Or she's your pastor. Whoever you want to listen. Amen. It doesn't matter if you're watching videos on the internet or if you reading books. It don't matter. He said, let no man deceive you. Amen. By any means. I tell people, amen, why should I spend a lot of time reading books written by men when I can read and study my Bible? And the Bible tells me. Amen.
Come on.
Amen. It says, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first.
Away. Yes, sir.
Amen. And so what that means,
sir,
is that people will continue to turn away from Christ. Men will continue to not want to adhere to sound doctrine. Men will continue to ignore true doctrine. Amen. And people will follow false doctrine. People have itching ears. Amen. They don't want to hear the truth. They can curse.
No.
Amen. And that's how we know that we are in the falling away. Amen. Anytime you allow homosexuality into the church and it's running rampant, I've been in churches where pastors will actually let homosexuals run around and act like they shouting in church and won't say. I remember a time when pastors used to set people down for acting like that in church. Amen. They would call it out right there on the spot. Amen.
You better sit down.
That's right. Amen. But now, amen, it's all about the dollar. The pastors don't care about who's on the organ. They don't care who's singing in the choir, leading the choir, or directing the choir. They don't care who's up there shouting now. And all they care is about how much money you're going to put in that offering plate. Amen.
Amen.
And so, amen.
Tell us. So
we definitely want to tell the truth. Okay. We are in the falling away. It says, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Amen.
Yes, sir.
So we want the church to wake up, the preachers and teachers out there to wake up and start teaching what Christ gave to John, which is the book of Revelation.
Amen.
The prophecy.
Revelation, brother.
He gave it to the seven churches. Revelation
yes,
is not for us to dodge or to be afraid of, but for us to know and to not be ignorant of the scriptures. Paul said it best. He said, brethren, I have you to not be ignorant. Amen. But I want you to know. Amen. That's what Paul said. Amen. So that's what we want. And brother, I'm going to get ready to turn it back over to you. But that's what we want.
We want you
to know what's going on so that you can receive salvation. And so when this thing is ready to happen, let God open up, we'll be ready to go back to glory with the Heavenly
Amen.
Father.
Amen.
Amen. And His
Amen.
Son.
Amen. All right, all right. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy.
Amen.
We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we will proclaim your name because we know that there's no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you to bless this ministry. Bless Brother Tim, Lord. Fill him, Lord. Let him be able to write the divine word of truth, Lord. Help me to be a more powerful preacher that I can warn men, women, boys, and girls. There's only one way. How shall we escape? If we neglect so great a salvation, which is through Jesus
Amen.
Christ. We ask you right now, go into this study, go into this lesson. We ask you right now that it would reach to the utmost, that it would reach to the downmost, that it would reach to the sidemost, that somebody may hear your word and come bending on their knees, weeping with tears, repenting of their sins and turning from their wicked ways and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that they may be saved. Because if they refuse the blood of Christ, if they refuse the sanctification, if they refuse the cross, the burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, hell will be their home. And we rebuke that in the name of Jesus right now because Satan is roaring like a lion, seeking who he
Amen.
Is about. Don't care what you are, where you're coming from, up or down, sideways, black or white, yellow or green. He wants the souls of men so they can be damned. But Christ died. And when he died, he have the victory eternally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Brother Tim,
Amen.
I want you to come on 37th chapter of Ezekiel there for me. And you get that chapter, which is a dynamic chapter. It's packed with power. It's packed with understanding. It's packed with end time prophecy. It's packed with exactly what's going on today, right on your TV set. It is on your internet. It's on your YouTube. It's on your Instagram. It's on your Facebook. It's right back down in it, and people are looking at it, and they don't know where they at. And most preachers today don't know where they at. That's why they can't preach it, because they haven't studied. They haven't went into God's word. They're not seeking souls of men. Amen. They're
Amen.
Seeking gratifying themselves, gratifying their prestige, gratifying their PhDs and CDs and ADs and all that. They're trying to be big shot. But let me tell you can be the biggest shot of you want, but if you keep the mess up, amen, you're going to be the little shot, because Jesus Christ is coming back again.
Amen.
And God is not happy. God is not
Amen.
Happy at this generation. He wasn't happy at the generation of Noah. He wasn't happy at the generation of the Israelites. And he's not happy at this generation. And I know the grace of God is so wonderful, so extravagant that people have trampled it under their feet and thank God it ain't going to do nothing. But let me tell you, you might be getting by now, but you won't get away. So what are we going to do? We're going to go into the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, and we're going to break it down for you. So those that have their Bibles, if you don't have one, when we get through, you go home, buy one, ask your neighbor and read it and see what the 37th chapter of Ezekiel actually say in this modern generation. All right. Here we go, Brother Tim, 37th
Amen.
Chapter of Ezekiel. And I'm going to give you a little outline on the first. Who is this prophet called Ezekiel? Where is he? What did he say? When, where, how, why did he make this prophecy in these last and evil days? We know Ezekiel was a major prophet. He was a prophet to Israel. He was a prophet during the Babylonian captivity. Babylonian captivity means that the Israelites went under captivity for 70 years. They were in Babylon. And while they were in Babylon, Ezekiel was there. He was by the river of Chebar. And when he saw the heaven open, he saw cherubim and seraphim. They came down. When he took a song, he bowed down, and they were saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty." And when he took a was by the river Chebar, he was in dismay. He was in dismay. And the reason why he was in dismay, because
Amen.
Israel almost was extinguished. They had lost their temple site. They had lost everything that God had gave them in the last month with milk and honey, and they rebelled against God, and God brought them under the captivity of the Babylonian Empire. And when they left Babylon, they had three sieges up on Babylon. They came the first time, and they took the women and the children. The second time, they burned the temple down and tore it down. And the third time, they came and took the rest of the captivity and took them to Babylon. And Ezekiel the Hebrew boys and Daniel and Jeremiah were supposed to go, but they took him to Egypt because they didn't want those to get together too much, because there was three, four, five righteous men in Babylon. Now check this out. Only five righteous men was in Babylon. And by them, they was prophets now. They were God called men. And the reason they was in Babylon, because they were speaking the truth. And the people didn't want to hear the truth. Same thing going on today. Life is a circle.
That's right.
What God did in the olden times, he's doing today. And the same thing is going on today. God got some true preachers. He got some true bishops. He got some true men that's holding up the brothers and banner and telling the people the truth. And then you got the false ones that's telling lies, and that's what they want. And so right now, we're going to go into the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel was in Babylon by about 587 B.C. That's before Christ. While he was on the river Chebar, God gave him a vision. And he come on down to the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, and this is what we read. I want Brother Tim to read the first verse. I'm going to read the next verse, and we're going to alternate, and we're going to break these verses down for you. So we want you to pay attention. Amen. We're going to have backup scriptures to back up what these scriptures are saying. So, Brother Tim, you go ahead and read that and see what the Lord is doing with Ezekiel here.
Amen. That's the first verse?
The first verse.
Amen. So it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bodies.
Look here. Now look, Ezekiel was sitting by the river Chebar. While he was sitting by the river, the Lord came down. And he said, he carried me out in. Now, listen at that. In the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of the Lord was in Ezekiel, around Ezekiel, under Ezekiel. God had gave his spirit to Ezekiel because he wanted to show him something. And let's, Brother Tim, see what he set him down at. Where did he set the Lord? What did he set Ezekiel down in?
So it set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones.
Full of bones? What you mean? Human bones. And he saw a vision now. When he saw this vision, he saw these bones. And by seeing these bones, it was portraying graphically, spoke of Israel coming under a restoration. Graphically portrayed the spiritual of the restoration of Israel. So he set him down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Second verse there, Brother Tim.
Amen. It says, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry.
Oh, my God. Whoa. It was very many. Brother Tim, go ahead and look into that a little bit and see what you can find in that, amen, that's referring to these dry bones. They was in the valley, and they were very dry.
Amen.
These bones were so dry, and this dryness represents a spiritual deadness, The repetition, behold, of fasting, attention of the two facts, that the bone was very dry, speak of a total absence of spirituality. In other words, Israel was totally dry. They had lost their temple. They had lost their priesthood. They had lost the temple. They had lost everything. They was in a strange land. They couldn't sing Zion song because they was in a strange land. They couldn't shout. They couldn't rejoice. They couldn't do nothing because they were dry. They had rebelled against the God of heaven. They had rebelled against the God of Moses and Isaiah and Jeremiah. They rebelled against the God of the universe because they refused to keep the commandments. They refused to keep the offering sacrifices. So God said, now I'm gonna let you go ahead and do what you want to do and see how you end up. All right. I'm gonna read the third verse. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, I answered, O Lord God, you know. So why did Ezekiel go back to the Lord and say, you know?
Amen.
I'm gonna ask Brother Tim quick. Why did he just go back to the Lord and say, you know? How much do God know?
He know everything. Amen. That's really why he asked. He said, right. That's right.
He said, you know. See? And he just knew that God knew. He said, because he didn't know. Man don't know nothing without God. And he should acknowledge that, God, you know. You're the creator. You're the maker. You're the designer. You're the God of gods and the Lord of lords. Now, I don't know, but you know.
That's right.
And Ezekiel asked the question of the Lord, oh, Lord, you know signifies within the realm of the human endeavor that task was impossible. See, it was impossible to Ezekiel to find out what are these bones, where are these bones done? And he said, you know all about it, God. And the world today is the opposite. People today don't know nothing about God, and that's why the people are perishing. The people are perishing because they don't know nothing about God. You want to know how there's so much crime and killing and murder and backbiting and church compromising and backsliding and all this stuff that's going on in the house of God, on the street corners, in every spot that you can name something that's going on, and the reason why it's going on because people don't know God. They don't know God. They say they know God. They might believe in God, but they don't know him. In order for this world to straighten up and get right with God, you got to know who God is. And the world today don't know who God is. The preachers, some of the preachers don't know who God is. He's almighty. He's all by himself. He don't need nobody else. He moves and have my beings in him. He's the one that made the stars and the moon. He's the one that keeps the world floating on nothing but love. The world is floating on nothing but love because it's hanging on nothing. It's circling around the sun every 24 hours. It rides, and it's been doing that for 6,000 years. The only time that it stopped was when Joshua talked to the Lord and caused the moon and the sun not to go down. But God has kept this world turning and turning, and men don't recognize it. The reason why they don't recognize, they don't know God. They think it was a Big Bang Theory. They think we come from evolution. They're teaching everything backwards in school now. And they took the prayers out of school and put evolution in. They're taking the moral values and teaching little children homosexual and teaching lesbianism and teaching that really we came from a Big Bang Theory. And the reason they're doing that, they don't know who God is. When you don't know who God is, you lose your mind. You lose your purpose of living. And people don't have a purpose of living today because they don't know who God is. But when you know who God is, you will know that God created man in his likeness and his image, and man is the highest creation that God made. Woo, because he's made after his own image, after his likeness. Now, these bones, we're going to get to find out who these bones are. And he said unto me, prophesied up on these bones, and said unto them, O ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. Now, when God's word speaks, what happened, Brother Tim, when God speaks?
Amen. Something happened. Amen.
What happens? Anything? When God speaks, what happens?
Amen. Action.
Something
the Holy Spirit.
Action.
Amen.
Action.
Amen.
When God
speaks,
action. And when God don't speak, ain't nothing going to happen.
That's deep. Amen.
And only time God speaks is when it's necessary to speak. And when he speaks, something got to move.
Amen.
move, then God didn't speak it.
Because
the world today is moving because God spoke. When he spoke, he said, revolve around the sun. The sun is 93 million miles away from Earth, and if God was to speak that it would go a little further, the world would freeze to death. If it would move just an inch closer, it would burn to death. But God kept it sustained in the right place at the right time, and it won't move unless God said it will move. Now, who am I?
Amen.
Small, insignificant, big as an ant on the elephant's back. When God looks at creation, he looks at grasshoppers. Isaiah said that the heavens thereof upon the earth is like grasshoppers. We're jumping around here, and we're just small, so small that we don't realize how small we are. And you mean to tell me, as big and powerful as God is, that he can't save you, that he can't renew you, that he can't give you a new life? Well, that's no problem to him. The problem is with mankind. Man
Amen.
Don't want to be saved. And one thing about God,
right.
He will not push salvation on you.
Did
the Lord push salvation on you?
No, sir. Amen. No, sir, he did not.
Tell me something about that. How did you come to the Lord?
Amen. Conviction. Amen.
Come on, Lord. I know when the Lord called you, you felt something.
Yes, sir.
I know
yes,
when
sir,
the Lord
definitely.
You. That's right. He didn't push himself on you. You wanted him.
He sure didn't. That's right. I went to him. Amen. I told him, I said, I don't want to be lost. I don't want to go to hell. Amen.
I remember
my dad preaching. For many years, he used to always tell us, you know, to get saved, to dedicate our lives to God. And, you know, as young men, you know, we would reject it. And, we thought we knew everything. We want to live the life we want to live. We were raised in church, and we said to ourselves, we got tired of church. You know, we don't want to go to church. We want to live out in the world and be like the world. And, amen. And the Holy Spirit dealt with me, amen, 21 years ago. April 15th, that'd be 21 years ago.
Come on,
amen,
now.
The Holy Spirit dealt with me. And he said, the Lord said, you know, he showed me that if I don't get saved, that I'll be lost for all eternity.
Be lost.
And I won't ever forget. I said, Lord, you know what, don't let me die and go to hell. I said that. And I got saved that day, that week. I got saved, amen. I got saved and dedicated my life to him. And he saved my soul, and the devil was so mad, amen, he began to attack. Amen. I began to wonder, I'm like, man, it seemed like I had more peace when I was in the world, but amen, because the devil was mad.
Yeah, you did.
And this is what the devil understands. He understands that once you dedicate your life to Christ, you are his for all eternity. Once saved, always saved. And the devil knows that. And that's why he gets so mad when we teach this word. He gets so mad when you get saved because he knows that once you get saved, there ain't no coming back. He can't get you.
There ain't no coming back.
You belong to Christ. Amen. You belong to Christ. Amen, brother. And that's how I came. Yes, sir.
But at the same time, God didn't force himself on you.
That's right.
He pleaded with you to come to him. He convicted you. He convicted you. He wooed you in. And he talked to you. Your spirit. You see, this is a personal. This is a personal.
That's right.
Salvation is personal.
That's right.
And people don't understand. My mama, my daddy, my sister didn't give me this.
Huh? That's right.
The same way. The Lord spoke to my heart, and I said, I'm tired of sin. I said, Lord, if you're going to do something with me, do something with me. Take it all. And he called me in to the ministry at the age of 21. Called me to preach the gospel. And when he called me, it was so dynamic that the men on the ship thought I had lost my mind. And I started crying, repenting, thanking God, praise his name. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And I wasn't in the church. I was on the ship.
Amen. That's right.
And the Lord,
amen.
When you preach it, you preach all of it. Don't compromise. Don't jive it up. I want you to preach my word like it's preached from the word of God. And ever since I was 21 years old, I've been preaching from Genesis to Revelation. I ain't missed a drop. And what you're talking about this evening, this afternoon, is we're talking about Ezekiel. When the Lord called him, he called him to preach about these dry bones, and we're going to find out exactly what these dry bones are and where they are now and what all these here words and scripture mean. And we look at the fifth verse, it says, thus says the Lord God unto these dry bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews, S-I-N-E-W-S, upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord thy God. Now,
that's right.
What Ezekiel is telling the people of Israel, which they have not come to the form yet, but Israel was scattered all over the face of the earth after the Babylonian captivity. After they came back from Babylon, amen, they were scattered all over the face of the earth. And some of them came back to Jerusalem. And when they came back to Jerusalem, they were scattered from all the way over to China, Russia, Western, Eastern Europe, down into Africa. They were scattered all over the face of the earth because they had rebelled against God. And God was bringing them under chastisement. And chastisement means you're going to suffer for your rebellion, that you have rebelled against me. I am your God. I have chosen you to be the nation and the only nation upon the face of the earth to reveal my power, my love, my mercy, my goodness. And guess what? You join in with the Gentile nations and you begin to worship what? Idol gods. You begin to worship all kinds of deities. You begin to worship all kinds of foul spirits. And you begin to worship the God of the Gentiles. And the Gentiles had over 13 different kinds of gods in the Old Testament. In other words, they were offering sacrifices of babies. They were having sex incestual with women and men. They were having sodomite with, and God says, I hate this. It's an abomination to me. And because you have joined up with them, you're going to suffer the consequences of knowing that you have rebelled against a holy God. And God said, I'm so holy that no man, nobody can stand before me. I'm so holy that the moon and the stars is in tune to my sight. I'm so holy that I can't even trust the saints of God. Woo, I'm so holy that no man can see my face and live in his natural realm. And so God is telling Ezekiel that these dry bones represent. And we're going to find out what they represent and what's getting ready to happen to Israel in this present day. Because what Ezekiel's saying, he's talking about the restoration of Israel coming back from the graves, coming back from the graves. And the grave is not a literally grave. It's the graves amongst the Gentiles, because the Jews were scattered all over the face of the earth, and they were put in the grave spirituality. In other words, they was covered with idolatry. They was in the grave of idolatry and all kinds of sin. And God said, I'm going to resurrect you from your graves that you have been scattered all over the face of the earth. And now the Jews, good God Almighty, the Jews are back in their land. They're in the land ever since 1948. The Jews start coming back May the 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation. Now listen to this. Israel became a nation for the first time over the period of what? 2,600 years. They were scattered amongst the graves of the Gentiles. And the Gentiles, amen, wanted to keep them in the grave, but God said, I got to bring you back. Because when I start bringing you back into what? Into Israel, that means that I'm getting ready to come back to the earth, because God is going to deal with Israel before. Listen, before he come back, he got to deal with Israel and bring them back in the right standing with God. And he's going to do that. Why? Because he owes them 7 years to fulfill their ministry. And I'm going to get back. I don't want to get off too much on the 37th chapter, but I'll have to go back a little bit. The 490 years that God promised Abraham, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, he said, I promise you that I'm going to deal with the Jewish people for 490 years. I'm going to deal with the Jewish people. And by him dealing with the Jewish people, he dealt with them from 440 B.C., after they came back from Babylon. He dealt with them from 440 B.C. all the way down to 33 A.D. That concludes 483 years. I want to take a little slow on that. 483 years God dealt with the Jewish people. Why? Because he said, I'm going to deal with you for 490 years. But when Christ came, the Jews rejected him. They rejected him because they were looking for another type of Messiah. And that type was Messiah, that he was supposed to come and destroy the Roman government and set up the millennial kingdom. And the Jews were disappointed because they figured, because God in the Old Testament could not become Christ Jesus, same God, but in the flesh, they didn't want to recognize him as being God Almighty when he was, and they rejected him. When they rejected him, God cut the Jewish nation off short. So God cut them off short. 483 years when he was hung on Calvary. Good God Almighty. They strung him up. They sketched him wide. They hung him high. They let him say, now, if you be the Son of God, if you be God Almighty, if you be the Redeemer One, come down off the cross. Come on down, you big and bad. Come on down. You spoke parables. You healed the sick. You raised the dead. Oh, my God. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know a thing about what they were doing. But they were fulfilling exactly what God said they would do. And when he said, now, wait a minute. If I come down off the cross now, it wouldn't bother me, but it would short you of your salvation. That means you could not be saved. That means nobody could die for your sins. Somebody had to die for your sins in order for you to receive salvation. If I would have came down, but the Lord said, I'm going to do something better. I'm going to die. Go down in the grave. Good God Almighty. Go down in the grave, and on the third day morning, I'm going to pay the penalty for sin by raising myself from the dead. I'm going to get up on my own power. You don't have to worry about calling no other power, because there's no other power higher than the power of God Almighty. And the Jews were cut off short of 483 years. When they were cut off, they were scattered again, because Jerusalem was burned to the ground by the Roman government, and they discredited the temple. They took the high priest off. The veil temple was rent from top to bottom. The Ark of the Covenant was taken out of the temple, and now the temple mount lays bare. There's no temple there. There's no temple there. And the reason why there's no temple there, God said, I'm going to destroy Israel for their rebellion. But in the end time, now get this, because this is what some people miss. Get this now. He said, I'm going to restore Israel. I'm going to give you an opportunity to build another temple. Guess what? The Jews today are planning to build a third temple. And this third temple will be the temple in which the Antichrist will sit in. And the dry bones that Ezekiel was talking about, they're awakening from out of the cities of the Gentiles in the country, and they're coming back into the land. They got the place where they're going to build a temple. They got the red heifer. They got the priest temple. They're looking for the Ark of the Covenant, which they're going to find. And they got the menorah. They got all the utensils. They're getting ready to reconstruct the temple in which the Antichrist will sit in. And by the Antichrist sitting in the temple, the temple has to be built. When the temple is built, the Antichrist, listen to what I got to say. The Antichrist is waiting now. He's alive because the world today is looking for a superhero. Men, boys, girls are looking for a superhero. They're looking for somebody to deliver them from sin. And the one that can deliver them from sin, they reject him. But the one that can deliver them from sin, that can't deliver them from sin is the Antichrist. And the world loves lies.
That's right.
People love a lie before they love the truth. People don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear that there's a hell. They don't want to hear that Jesus Christ died and rose again. They don't want to hear that they got to repent, otherwise you go to purgatory. They don't want to hear that. What they want to hear is something tickle to the ear and fancy to the idea that you can do what you want to do and live the way you want to do and live and live and live and live and die without Jesus Christ and go to heaven. No, it ain't going to happen that way. So what I'm saying, saying that the Jews are getting ready to build is an idea of the reviving children of Israel. Now, what's going to happen in the next few months? You will see a change in the atmosphere in the Middle East, because the Middle East is getting ready to heat up. And it's getting ready to heat up because these dry bones that I'm talking about, amen, which is Israel, coming from the dead, spiritually dead, they're coming back to revive themselves. And listen to what it says. It says in that chapter, and I'm going to give it over to Brother Tim, and it says here in the book of Ezekiel, where the Lord tells them, say, now, I'm going to bring sinews. Now, sinews means muscle. And I will bring flesh up on you and cover you. Skin represents your identity. And with a skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. In other words, I'm going to breathe my breath in him. And you shall know that I am the Lord. And so now Israel has become a nation. It's been a nation for 70 long years. And now Israel has a problem since they're back in their land. Since they're back in the land, the nations of the world is mad. The nations of the world is mad because they don't want the Jews back in the land. They don't want the Jews to have a right to take the headship of the nations of the world to represent. Now, it's something to be a representative of God Almighty. And when you become a child of God, you are to represent God Almighty. You're not God. Now, don't some crazy folk going around talking about they God. There ain't no God, but you're a representative of God. You represent God's lifestyle. You represent God's hope.
Amen.
You represent God's love. You represent God's joy. You represent God's peace. Because one thing about Jesus Christ, when you receive him in your life, one thing you got is the love of God in your heart. I'm talking about love, God. I'm talking about the love of God, divine love, love unconditionally, love the unlovely, love the lovely, love those that persecute and say all manner of good to you, love the black, love the white, love the yellow, love the, my God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth shall not perish. And who brought him into existence? Who brought the Savior? It was Israel. Who wrote the Bible? It was Israel. Who was the one that led the nations through, God led the nations through Egypt and brought them over into the land? What patriarch in the Bible that you find out that a Jew? Most of them, all of them is Jews except one, and that was St. Luke. So So the Bible is a Jewish Bible. And since it's a Jewish Bible, the Gentiles got to read from the Jewish Bible to get an understanding of who Christ is and the position of Israel. And the world don't want to recognize it. Oh, my God. And the 70th week, which is the week of tribulation, 7 years, 3.5 years, the first part, 3.5 years, the last part. And Israel, listen, because a lot of people say the church is going to go through the tribulation. The church cannot go through the tribulation. You know why? Here's one reason. Because the church and Israel cannot be on the ministry at the same time.
That's right.
Now, Israel did their ministry up to 483 years, and God cut them off short of 7 years. Guess what? When he cut them off, he engrafted the Gentiles in. He said, some of this fold, said, these are not of my fold, but I have some in another fold. The other fold is the Gentile nation. And the Gentile nation was grafted in and became majority of the church. Yet still Jews have a right to be saved in the church. And by being in the church, that's what Jesus said, I'm going to rock, I'm going to build my church. So it consisted of Jews and Gentiles, not Israel. Israel is not separated from the church, but Israel got a different ministry from the church. In order for God to get to the world, oh my God, the church done had its opportunity. 2,000 years of church age, and look where the church is. The church has failed God. Oh, praise God, let me tell you. But God is so merciful.
Amen.
I have failed, but God is so merciful. I need to preach it a little harder. I need to preach it more frequently. I need to praise God every day. I fail to tell some people. I fail to tell them in some way what God's getting ready to do. But let me tell you one thing. I can tell you one thing. If you hear me, amen. I tell you one thing. I'm going to tell you the truth, nothing but the truth. So help me, God Almighty, because the truth will what make you free. So what we going on? I'm going to give it to Brother Few. Brother, this year,
amen.
7 year tribulation.
Amen.
This 7 year tribulation will be consisted of 7 years will be handed back over to the Jew because the church is going to be raptured. And we're
That's
in a
right.
position now that the church can be raptured anytime. This year
That's
coming
right.
up. Anytime this year coming up. I'm serious. I ain't got no date. I ain't got no minute. I ain't got no second.
Amen.
I ain't got no hour for you to speculate. But let me tell you, Jesus Christ said, when you see all these things come to pass, look up.
Right.
Your redemption draws nigh. The church will not, cannot be here when the Antichrist will come. Because the church,
that's right.
those that know the word of God will blow him over. Will tell him, no, that's not him. That's not him. And God is saying, now it's the turn of the Jew to give them the last 7 years on earth to do what? Preach the gospel, not gossip, not your own theological viewpoint, but preach the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is saved, Jesus and him crucified, born, suffered, died, hung, died, put in the grave, 3 days, 3 nights, got up out the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hands and sent the Holy Ghost. After 10 days,
Amen.
He went back to heaven. Then the 10 days called 50 days of Jubilee. And the day of Pentecost was fully come. God sent the Holy Ghost. And they all was filled. That was the birth of the church. And ever since then, the old church has been rolling. We rode from Ephesus. We rode from Smyrna. We rode on down to Pergamos. We rode on down to Tartara. We rode on down to Sardis. We rode on down to Philadelphia. And now we're in the church of Laodicea, which is the very last church age, because Corona and all these little diseases that's sticking people from going to church, and they say they're going to catch this and catch that. Well, you can catch it anywhere. And I believe if I go to church and catch it in church,
Amen.
I'm in a good place. My heart is not in a good place, and I'm in serious trouble. Because whether you're in church or out of church, if you haven't been born again, if you haven't been saved and sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you leave this earth without Jesus, you're going to hell. And you're going to hell because you reject Jesus Christ. So So what's coming up? The Antichrist is getting ready to come. He's alive today. He's about 53 years old. He comes from Western Europe. He comes from the European common market. He comes from the 10 toes. He comes from the 10 horns. He comes from the 10 crowns. He comes from the 10 kings. Those are the 10 nations that he will come out of. When he come out of it, and I'm going to close. I'm going to let Brother Tim have it.
If he can come,
he can go from there, pick up a couple of nuggets. But when he comes, he will come almost immaculate, instrument of the devil. He will be so miraged. People will be so miraged over this man. And by him, by the world being so miraged over this man, because he will speak real sweet. He will speak kindly. He will make look like that he is Jesus Christ himself. And the world will be amazed. And they will believe, especially the Jews, will believe that this is actually Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because they want not the Christ of glory. They want the Christ that will fit their mold. And they will say, yes.
Right.
And the Antichrist will say, go ahead and build your temple. Build it. Set the Ark of the Covenant in, and I agree with you that you have a right to build the temple. And when the Jews hear this, they are going to accept it. And when the Gentiles hear that, they say, yeah, the Jews must be right. They believe that this is Christ, and the world will wonder right behind the Jew. And that's what God hates. He didn't want the Jew to follow the idolatry of the Gentiles. He wanted the Jew to be his people. So he's going to give them an opportunity to be restored. And this Antichrist is mentioned in the book of Thessalonians, mentioned in the book of Revelation, and he becomes the beast. When he becomes the beast, that means you're in the middle of the tribulation. But right now, Brother Tim is going to come on in. I know he's going to pick up something out of that, and I know he got something good to say. It's 6 o'clock right now, and I hope we can get through this book of Ezekiel, but I'm going to come back later on when Brother Tim gets through. And what you got for me, brother, in the word?
Amen. Amen, brother. Great word. Amen. You real strong in verse, amen, in that 37, in that book of Ezekiel, amen. So I'm still learning,
yes.
Amen. I'll back you up, amen, brother. Amen.
Go
but
ahead,
what
brother.
I want to talk about, amen. Amen. What I want to talk about, amen, is what you mentioned about the church being prepared, and a lot of people are just, they're just riding, they're just coasting, amen. They're just coasting, and they don't really realize what's going on and what's about to take place, amen. So I just want to call your attention over to, amen, the Matthews, the 24th chapter. I want to take a look at verse 36, amen. Amen, since we're talking about Christ's return, amen, we're talking about we are to continue to look for Christ. Amen. And as you said, that the church will not be here, amen, during the seven-year tribulation. Amen. And I have to say this, brother, because it seems like you and I are hearing the same exact things out here in the world from a lot of people who claim to be, amen, part of the church. Amen. That they're speaking as if we're going to go through the tribulation. Amen. We will not be here. When you have to read and study the language of the Bible to understand that we're not going to be here. And Paul, Paul said it best. Amen. So we're going to explore, amen. Let's explore what Paul said first. I mean, I have to piggyback off of what you said over in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And I'm going to show, amen, the listeners, the church, something. Let me show what Paul said over in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. He said in verse 51, this is a key verse. Paul said, behold, amen. In other words, I want you to look. He said, I show you a mystery. We've spoken about this several times, how this word mystery in the Greek means that it is a secret, amen, but it is a secret not to the believers, but a secret to who? It's a secret to those who are on the outside of the church, those who are the unbelievers, amen, those that are here faking and shaking. It's a secret to them, but not to us. We understand what Paul is saying. Watch what Paul says. Paul says, and this is one of the great mysteries of the church age. One, we don't know when the church age is going to end. We don't know when Christ is going to return. And the other, amen, the other mystery was that we will be what? Changed. Amen. He says, we shall not all sleep. But he says, but we shall all be changed. Amen. So we're going to be changed into a new form. And he says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Amen.
Changed.
So it's important that we understand that. Now, watch this. I have to go back over to Matthew's, the 24th chapter. Amen. And we're going to look at verse 36, what Christ said. Now, this is Christ talking to who? The followers, his followers, and also the word to the church. He says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. Amen. Not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So that tells you that Christ is saying, I don't even know. The angels don't know. No man know. So we're not professing that we know when Christ is going to return. But of the seasons, amen, Paul talked about the seasons, we can tell when it is drawing near, when it's drawing near, when we are getting very close to the return. Now watch this. And Christ also gave us some examples. He said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, in the days of Noah, what were they doing? Amen. They was partying. They weren't thinking about God. They was doing everything up under the sun. They was sinning, sacrificing. Amen. Like the minister said, they were having orgies. Amen. Fornication.
Yeah.
They was doing everything, every evil thing up under the sun. And we can see that happening right now before our eyes. Even in the church, there's so many things going on. In the church.
Going on.
Amen.
In the church.
And so he's referring to how it's going to be, amen, when he gets ready to return. But he said, for as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Amen. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Watch. Amen. So understand this. If we understand right now, amen, me and Minister Elder Bazaar, we understand.
Yeah.
And we have to use this example. If the church was to go through the tribulation or to enter into the tribulation, we are versed in the word that we would know it. And we know at the end of that 7 years that what's going to happen. Christ is going to return. So we would, we don't need to watch, because we already know at the end of that 7 year period, we already know what's going to take place. At the end of 7 years, if we can survive it, amen, we know that Christ is going to return. But this is not what he referred to. He says, watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord do come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched.
Yeah.
Amen. So if we would be here during the tribulation, amen, we would be watching. We would know when what. Amen. When the good man of the house is known and what watch the thief would come. Now watch what he said. He would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be what? Broken up. Therefore, watch verse 43. It says, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Amen. Verse 44. Amen. It says, therefore, be ye also ready. That time is now. We need to be ready right now, because it said that
right now,
in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man coming. meaning that nobody knows when he's going to come. That is the mystery that Paul talked about. Amen. That's the mystery of the church age. We don't know when it's going to end. We know that Christ is going to return. Now watch this. Now Paul's going to elaborate just a little bit more on the return of Christ.
All
and
right.
Church, we just want you to be ready when he comes. Amen. We don't want you to miss out on the return of Christ because we want you to be ready. And right now, as the minister said, so many churches are not ready. So many, and this is why the Christ sent the message to John. That's how we know that there's a fall away of the church, and this is how we know the church is not ready, because Christ sent the message to John. Amen. And out of the seven churches, only two, amen, amen, only two churches was found with no criticism. There was no criticism of two churches. Amen. I believe that was the church of Smyrna and the church of Philadelphia.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
And so we know that the churches need to be watched. Now watch what it says over in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verse 13. Watch what it says. It said, Paul said, but I would not have you to be what?
Ignorant.
Brethren.
Yeah.
That means he's talking to the church, the brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't want you to be what? Ignorant. In other words, I don't want you to not know what's going on. He says, concerning which them which are asleep. Now, notice he used the word asleep and not dead, meaning that the church is what? Resting. Those in the church age have passed on. The saints are resting. They are asleep. He says, that ye sorrow not. In other words, don't worry. He says, even as others which have no hope. In other words, those who are unbelievers who have no hope. But we have what?
Hope.
We have a hope. Amen. We believe. Now watch what Paul says. He says, for if we believe that Jesus, Yahshua, died and rose again. That sounds like the plan of salvation, brother. Amen. Even so, them also which sleep in Yahshua will Yahweh bring with him. Amen. So we can see here in the language that he said that he's going to bring them what? With him. Amen.
Yes,
now watch this.
Yes,
he says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, amen, them which are asleep. Amen. Now watch this. Now that word asleep again means they are resting what? In the dirt. They're resting in the grave. Amen. And he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of Yahweh, God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Amen. So now we're talking about the resurrection of who? Those who are asleep. Then he says in verse 17, watch what he says. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and shall and we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. So who's he referring to?
Amen.
The church. The church is known as who? The saints. Now, I want to show you something else real quick. And amen, we are the saints of God. Now, watch this. This is how you know that we will not be here. Watch what it says over in the book of Jude. The book of Jude is only one book.
One
amen.
Chapter.
Yep. One chapter. Amen. Now watch what it says. Watch what it says. Amen. This right here is talking about what? Verse 14 is talking about, and Enoch also, amen, the seventh from Adam, prophesies of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. So who are the saints that he's coming with if we're going to be on the earth during the tribulation? Amen.
Come on.
Now watch this.
Come on.
Is how we know that it's talking about at the very end of the tribulation when it says here in verse 14. Because in verse 15, it says to execute judgment upon all. And if you remember over in Revelation, the 19th chapter, it also has a language that says that Christ shall return with the armies of heaven. Well, who's he talking about?
Yes, sir.
Does not the Bible tell us not to put on what? The full armor of God? Does it not talk about when Christ come back at the end of the tribulation that he's going to execute judgment upon all? Amen.
Yes.
So those of us, amen, that are the saints are going to return with Christ at the end. Amen. And he's going to do what? He's going to take care of business with the ungodly, with the unbelievers. Amen. So we shall be with him. The saints of God shall be with Christ when he returns. So we shall not be here. Amen. Also in the book of Revelation. Amen. The church is only talked about in the first three what? The first three chapters of the book of Revelation.
Yes, sir.
So we shall not be here. Amen. When this all starts to happen. Now watch what it says. Amen. Over in Revelation.
Amen.
Revelation, the third chapter. I want to share this verse. I thought this was so beautiful. Amen. Verse 10 says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Now I'm going to stop right there. Now we know that when the Antichrist come on the scene, that everybody that's within that time frame from the beginning of the great tribulation is lost. So how could they have been keeping the word of his patience if they are lost? Amen. If they have no salvation. This is talking about prior to the tribulation. So who's it talking about? It's talking to the church. We see that this message is to who? The seven churches, to the churches, the church of Philadelphia. Amen. So it says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. So who's it talking to? Present, us, right now, the church, the church that has passed on, and the church right now before Christ has returned, before he comes back to get the church, before the tribulation. Now watch this right here. This is so important, amen, that those that have any doubt that the church will go through, will be here during the tribulation, here's the scripture. Here it is right here. Watch what this verse says. This is Christ talking because it's written in what? Red. He said, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Amen.
Yeah.
Brothers, he broke it down. Yeah. We talk about the 70th week. Those last 7 years, amen, we talked about 69. After 69 is what? 70. Amen.
70.
So, amen. So we see that this last hour of temptation, the church will not what? We will not be here because he will keep them, amen, the church, from the hour of temptation, which shall, now watch this, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. How do we know that Christ is referring to the great tribulation? Amen. How do we know? Watch this. Amen. This is an example, amen, because this virus is, we see the this virus, amen, that everybody was required to do what? Wear a mask. Amen. Can't remember a time. Amen. But I can't remember a time. Now, maybe you can, amen, because I know that you're more mature in age than I am. Amen. But I can't remember a time that the whole entire world has been mandated to do something and must comply. Amen.
Yes.
If you don't, there may be some what? Consequences. That sounds like similar. Now, make sure you understand, not the mark of the beast, but similar to the mark of the beast, which is going to be in the tribulation.
That's
which then will be required. Amen. At that last 3.5 years, amen, when the beast, amen, he's going to, what is he going to do? He's going to declare himself God. Amen. He's going to require to buy and sell. You must have a mark in your hand on your forehead if you want to go to work, if you want to eat some pizza, if you want to go to the restaurant, if you want to make some money, if you want to continue to go to the gym, whatever you want to do in this world like we're doing now, amen, if you want to buy some ice cream, you're going to have a mark of the beast in your hand and on your forehead. Amen. So what is the scripture saying in Revelation the third chapter, verse 10. This is exactly what it's saying, that he's going to keep us, the church, from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. to try them that dwell upon the earth. Amen. Ooh. So we know that that's talking about the tribulation. The church after the third chapter, verse 22, the church is not seen again until Revelation, the 19th chapter, when Christ returns. Amen. The church is not even mentioned again. So we will not be here. Amen. And I want to share one more scripture with you. Amen, brother.
Go ahead, brother.
I was going to share a little bit. Going back over to 1 Thessalonians. Amen. 1 Thessalonians. Amen. Now watch this with Paul. So I'm just going to read one verse. And then I'll come back, amen, at the end and touch it up some more at the end. Amen. Second chapter. It says, and to you, amen, it says Second Thessalonians, the first chapter, verse 7. It says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus, amen, Yahshua, shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Amen. Paul said, rest with us, meaning that he's going to be with us. Amen. And watch what verse 10 says. It said, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe because of our testimony among you,
Lord,
in that day.
Yes.
Brother, I'm so glad to be a saint, and I pray as many people, brother, that's been weighing on my heart, my spirit so much this month. Amen, brother. It you can't help but for to bring tears to your eyes because we don't want nobody to miss the mark. Amen. Because brother, amen.
Amen. I know what you're feeling.
Yes, sir.
You brought this down right down my alley. Because we haven't touched on this. It's going to be awful. It's going to be a sad day for those that are left here on this planet. It's going to be a sad day. I don't want to see nobody. I don't care if you're my worst enemy. I don't want to see you be left here and have to go through the tribulation period. Some things that men are going to have to face when the rapture comes, it's going to be a twinkling of an eye. And by being twinkling of an eye, it's going to be so fast that cars going to be going down the road with no drivers, buses with no drivers, truck with no drivers, train wrecks, airplane crashes with no due to missing crew members, mass confusion of radio and TV news media, telephone circuits overloaded, operators missing, numbers of uncontrollable fires and looting will be in the street, rampaging and lawlessness, crimes and mobs, which the remaining police cannot even control. Graves of the saved will be opened and bodies resurrected. Packed churches of liberal religions and false occults trying to get answers from their ministers. Families terrified. There'll be families separating, mama from the daddy, daddy from the daughter. Oh, some people in their family half saved, some saved, and some of them all saved. I tried to get mine saved. I know they accepted Jesus Christ at a young age. I praise God for that. They might have to go through some things, and they have to go and put their faith in Jesus Christ. He said, but families, well, you talking about coronavirus? What? Coronavirus is like playing in a playpen with a rattle in your hand compared to the rapture of the church, because people will be missing from all over the world. I'll say that again. People will be missing from all over the world, in the deepest part of Africa, in China, in Russia, in Bangladesh, and in India, in Ethiopia. Men, women will be missing because they accepted Jesus Christ under the ministry and evangelism that's going on over there. People in block countries that have a hard time of worship and praising God will be missing. Every born again believer, Holy Ghost filled person will be missing from the earth, and that will leave a vacuum of many people missing. What are you going to do? How are you going to handle that? Where are you going to go through the tribulation period? Not only that, but But you hit on that question about the conditions that the world would be in and what would happen just before that, like nations against nations, earthquakes, famine, pestilence.
Right.
He's running to and from. Knowledge will be increased. Wars and wars. People can watch worse and worse. That's what's going on now. And people don't even phrase it. They think this is a normal thing. But this is all normal. This is not right. God
is
not pleased with this. As in the days of Noah, restaurants and taverns, false Christ, falling away from the faith. People just going to church, they ain't doing nothing. They left their hands and got their minds on the beer joint, got their minds on the party they're going next week. What vacation they going to take? Oh, what kind of recreation we do from getting bored? But when this there's going to be no boredom. There's going to be some people crying out, oh, my God. What these men were talking about has really come to pass. And it says, restaurants, falling away from the faith. Will not endure sound doctrine. People believe anything today. They believe anything.
Right.
People believe if they freeze themselves, amen, in a cooler, in the day of judgment, they're going to get up out the grave. Woo! People believe that at one time they was a ant or something to come back to a cow. People believe anything that the devil throws out. That's
right.
Why you got, I'm not embarrassed to say, we got some crazy people who have lost their mind, ain't got the sense enough to know that there is an almighty creator who loves them, who loves them. He wants to deliver them from sin so you won't have to go to hell. And my friends out there, those are listening to me, I don't want you to go to hell for nobody. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I love every one of those out there, but I wouldn't want to go to hell for you. I can't go to hell for you. Only thing I can do for you is tell the truth in the word of God and point you to a loving Savior who took the punishment of hell on his shoulders, took the punishment of your sin and my sin on his shoulders. He died. And we're coming up Passover in April the 4th. He died. But not only did he die, he got up. And when he got up with all power in heaven and earth just for you to receive him so when judgment comes, you can escape the wrath of God Almighty. Because when the tribulation comes, God is going to mix mercy with wrath, mercy with wrath, mercy with wrath to convince man, look, I love y'all. I love everyone. I love the black man as much as I love the white man. I love the white man as much as I love the Chinese because I made y'all all. Y'all all belong to me. Every soul on the face of the earth belongs to God, and he wants his soul. And the only way that he can get his soul is when you make up your mind who you going to choose today. Are you going to choose the devil? Because the devil got a whole lot of goodies for you. Oh, man, he can make life look like it's honey on a rock. Oh, he can let you have a good time. You can sail this life and live for 80 or 70 years and just live and just live and just live until your time is up. And when your time is up, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, and you die without the redemption blood of Jesus Christ in your life by the Holy Spirit, you will die. And you will actually, realistically, go to hell. You'll go to
That's
hell
right.
because of one reason. You wanted to enjoy this life without God Almighty. And you told God for 40 years, for 30 years, for 20 years, for 15 years, you rock and rollers out there, you party goers and you drinkers and you whoremongers and you prostitutes and your lesbianism, all y'all just having fun.
Amen, that's right.
And y'all so much fun that you don't realize, amen, what it is to be lost forever. Listen to me, forever. Oh, my God, forever. Not only that, but be tormented forever.
Yes, sir.
Forever. You will be in national peace. You will cry out when nobody will give you answer. You will see hell just like it was explained to the Bible. In the Bible, it says there shall be torment where the worm never dieth. That means the human body will never die. You won't have no sleep night. You can't take no sleeping pills. You can't go out there and say, hey, man, let's go party. There ain't going to be no party. If it's going to be a party, it'll be called hell party. You will have a hell of a time to try to get out. And you can't get out. Why? Because you refuse the ultimate. Wait a minute. The ultimate sacrifice. God Almighty became a man. Can you get a gasp for that? God Almighty gave his only Son of God. God became flesh, human flesh, had a blood system, had a heart, had lungs. He walked, he drank, he ain't no alcoholic, I don't get me wrong. He drank. He sat down with the publican sinners. He walked on the water. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. And you're going to miss all that? You're going to miss the one that really loved you? Oh, God. You need the devil tell you that God don't love you. He's a liar. He's a liar. The truth ain't in him. The reason why God, amen, threw him out of heaven, God will tell you, he tried to overthrow the Almighty. And he's trying to overthrow the Almighty down here. And guess what? He lost. And if you would put up a scoreboard and say, what's the score between Satan and God? Satan got zero and God got a billion. Because let me tell you, if you die and go to hell, guess who the loser is? The loser is you. You're a loser. Ain't no use in trying to get a look. Little girl, and get your little cookies on and slobber all over and drink your wine and take your drugs and do all that. Hey, that ain't gonna last. That's gonna give out. And when you stand before God, God's gonna say, I could have taken you, I could have saved you, but you didn't want me. So now you got to pay. You got to pay for your own sin. If you was in a junkyard full of worms and snakes and all kinds of foul scent and smell, and somebody come along and say, "Do you want to come out? Do you want to come out?" And you still want to stay there, but that's what sin is like. Sin may look good, sin may feel good, sin may taste good, but after it's all over, it's a cesspool. And people don't understand. The devil makes things look good on the outside, but after he gets through with you, he'll whoop you, he'll destroy you. Because that's the only thing he can do, is to kill you, rob you, and steal from you. And if you let him steal your salvation, and you sell your soul to the devil, that's what's going to happen during the tribulation period.
You're
going to be selling your soul. That soul seller. And if you don't believe in soul selling, you better go on the top of the Mount of Temptation where Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil, the last temptation. The devil had the gall enough and the bold enough and the audacity to tell Jesus, if you will fall down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. The fool didn't even recognize. I didn't want to recognize that the one he was talking to was the one who created it.
That's right.
The world is giving the same offer to people today. If you will become a homosexual, I'll give you $250,000. And that's what Hollywood is doing. Hollywood is selling soul.
No, sir. Yes, sir, they are.
All that crap, basketball players, football players, movie stars, church folks selling their soul.
That's right. Amen.
And so when the soul selling coming and you want to get this mark and you recognize that you can't buy or sell, you're telling God, I don't want your salvation, but Satan, I want to eat. I want to go down to the bank and get my money. I want to buy
that's
a house.
Right.
But if I don't bow down to you, then I get my head cut off. And I can't get my head cut off because I don't want to die. And usually if you're not a child of God, amen, you're not willing to die. Woo! But you got to be a child
that's
of
right.
God in order to be like the Hebrew boy. You got to be like a Hebrew boy. We need some Hebrew boys in the land that will not
amen.
Bow down. A fallen statue. Look at all this here music that's been on radio and TV and all this your crap, those slang words
right.
that you and young folks are going to hell wild. Look at the young women stretching their legs open and jumping up and down and showing
that's
all
right.
their bosom. They're 7 years old.
That's
and
right.
The world is saying, oh, that's right. Oh, that's fun. But let me tell you, the wages of sin is death.
Yeah,
the death of God. Why go to hell over a piece of why go to hell over a piece of junk? The devil ain't got
that's
nothing
right.
but junk. Nothing but a bunch of maggots and crap, and the churches is going to influx into this worldly system and brought all this old worldly stuff into the church, and they've forgotten about you got a soul, brother.
That's
and
right.
if you sell out to that stuff, guess what? The devil got you. And as long as you in that mess, the devil ain't going to do nothing but bother but give you more. But if you refute that, you're going to have a hard time with the society because society is not going to accept you. The world
right.
today will not accept the Christian faith. I don't know what people think about because I'm a good old Baptist, I'm a good old Methodist, I'm a good old Catholic. That's all right, but that ain't going to take you to heaven.
That's
it's going
right.
to take the blood. It's going to take you the blood of Jesus Christ to save your soul once and for all. I don't believe in that hip-hop salvation. I believe in eternal redemption brought by the blood of Jesus Christ because you can't put out the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't burn it. Ooh, you can't use it. You can't destroy it because it's indestructible. And the Bible says, tells us the church is indestructible. You can't destroy the church. The only thing the world can do is compromise. The church compromised with the world and caused a lot of people's souls to be lost when they stand before judgment. I'm getting ready to turn it over to Brother Tim, but he says, in the last days, these things will be happening. Heaping up, men will be heaping up treasures for the last days. The economy system is getting ready to collapse. Cross preachers are preaching. Now, like I told you, Brother Tim, I don't know what in the world they're going to preach when they get back in church. Because if they're not preaching the unadulterated word of God, they're going to go back in the
that's
same
right.
old mold. And
that's
and
right.
the same old mold will keep you out of the heaven because you won't preach repentance. You won't preach holiness. Look what we got. We got men and horses out of work. We got automobiles. We got airships. We got perilous time, disobedience to parents, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, denying the power thereof. Jews returning to Palestine, the coming world dictator. We got some will worship him and some won't worship him. But what I'm saying, there's no way on this earth that God Almighty is going to let his body go through the tribulation period.
That's right.
And the church is the body of Christ. The church has
amen.
Already suffered 2,000 years of persecution.
Right.
And the devil has tried to eliminate the church, but he's a lying wonder. He's a double-faced, bare-faced liar. He ain't going to do nothing but cause havoc in your life.
That's right.
Don't go to hell. Please don't go, Mr. Postman.
Yes,
don't go. Hey, prostitute. Don't go to hell. Hey, gay guy. Don't go to hell. Hey,
that's
hey,
right.
Don't go to hell. God loves you. But God don't love you. He don't love what you're doing to yourself. He don't
he
love
loves,
that. Man. He don't love the separation that you allow the devil to do to keep you away from the flowing blood of Jesus Christ. He wants you to repent and come on into the kingdom of God, where there's a place where you can get in God that when the rapture of the church comes, guess what? We're going on to glory. And there we will live forever. Ever.
That's right.
And ever ain't enough forever. And you can't run out of ever because ever means forever.
Amen. That's right.
God said, I got something for you that the devil can't even touch. The devil can't give you nothing but misery, but I can give you joy. You can enjoy me for eternity. Ooh, good God.
That's right.
You can enjoy your loved ones that you know that you, when you was on earth, that you knew they would be in hell. Why? Because they received salvation. Don't you know your mom and dad or your brother and sister were saved? Don't you know that you'll see him one day? Don't you know that you can see Jesus one day? Oh, my God. You mean the man that hung on Calvary? I want to see him. I don't only want to see him, but I want to hold his hand. I want him to put his hands around me, and I want to look at him forever. Now, ain't that something that God wants to give you? Oh, God ain't going to give you a whole lot of money and clothes. I mean, that's on your own going. You're doing that yourself. But what God wants to give you most of all, he wants to give you salvation. Salvation through Jesus Christ, not through some preacher. And I love good preaching. Let me tell you, I love good preaching. But I hate that old foul gospel that these men and women are believing in today. It's phony. It's a quack. I feel sorry for Kirk Franklin and the situation that he is going through. I feel sorry for the boy. Amen. But whatever you do wrong, it'll come in over. I'm praying for him. Because he's got a beautiful talent, but it got away with him. He got involved with some things that divided the family, and now he got to pay the consequence. But I'm praying for him and his family, and I'm not putting him under the stone. And ain't nobody got no business putting him under the stone, because you ain't no better than he is. It can happen to you.
Amen.
But see, that's what's wrong with churches today. That's what's wrong with them holy, holy, holy thou saints. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
They can do what they want. When they see somebody else doing something, they want to condemn them.
That's it.
Because God can use those in their failures. He still can use them. And this is what he said. This is what my Bible says. I don't know about what other people's Bible say, but my Bible says, he said, I'll never leave you. Neither will I forsake you. No, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. There's a lot of people going to be in heaven. They're going to ask, how did I get here? What did I do? You didn't do nothing. It's what you accepted. And then there's a lot of people that you said they was going to be there. You ain't going to find them there.
That's right.
Because they played the hypocrite. They played the hypocrite. And we got a whole lot of hypocrites that say they love God and hate their brother. That's a hypocrite.
That's right.
They're hip-hopping. And they're hip-hopping on God, because there's no way on this planet. You say you've been born again and you go out there throwing stones and putting white hoods over your head, burning crosses and beating on people and killing people, and you tell me you love God and you out there
killing your
brother. There ain't no way. You can be a born-again believer, because Christians, amen, love each other. I don't care if it's a racial thing. Ain't nothing but the raw-headed, slew-foot devil that's going by race and kin and the color of their skin. Because we all come from one blood. When people going to wake up? They're not going to wake up until it's too late. But during that tribulation period, it's going to be hell on earth. Because the water going to turn to blood. Demons are going to be set loose on the face of the earth. Being men that they want to die and can't die. Men are going to be running and leaping off of and crying out for the pain that they're going to suffer. The world is going to go into a global war. Iran is trying to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. They are planning right now to make more bombs. Over 200,000 rockets they got already. They're planning to shoot at Israel. Why? Because the Gentile nation don't want the Jews to be on the earth, when God has already told them, hey, they are going to be the supreme nation during the millennium reign. He said, now, if you touch my people, you touch the apple of mine eye, Don't you know in the future Russia is going to make an attack upon Israel? Don't you know that Iran is getting ready to try to eliminate the Jewish people, and the Jews now have to defend themselves? Because if America don't stand by the Jewish people, God is going to step in and he's going to cause a world, listen, a world economical, political, religious earthquake. The whole world is going to shake. Come down upon Israel, because God is going to be real angry. He's going to be real angry at Iran and Russia and Ethiopia and those nations, because he said, when you mess with
right.
my people, the wrong people. And these preachers, this preachers that God is through with the Jews, they're going to have to answer for it. Because when you support the Jewish people, God will bless you abundantly. He will bless you. Why? Because these are the people that's going to finish up the entire message of the 144,000 and Moses and Elijah. And the world now is getting set up for that temple to be built. And the Antichrist is cracking the door open just a little bit. He's peeking out. And he said, I can't go now. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord. He said, I can't go now. Oh, I can't go. Why can't you go? The church is still here. But there's a day coming. Listen to me, whoever's out there. There's a day coming when the Lord God Almighty is going to blow a trumpet. Brother Tim said, they're going to blow a trumpet. And that trumpet is going to be so loud. So
right.
wake up the dead.
Wake up the
and
dead.
And we that remain alive. Good God Almighty, I'm going to take off this old carnal nature, this old frail body of mine. You're going to drop off, and I'm going to be changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye and be caught up in the air, and I'm going to see Jesus face to face, and I'm going to be able to look back on planet Earth and see the works that I've done that are affecting everybody's lives. And the Bible says, work while it is day. How many people are working in this
nice.
Church? I mean, soul search. Quit trying to be
That's
in the
right.
picture. Go out there and get them souls. Bring them into the house of God and pray for them. No, they ain't got, I ain't got time for that. I don't know how to witness. Well, let me tell you, it's about time that you know how to witness. And quit trying
That's
to make
right.
excuses like you said, because you ain't got no business being afraid of witness to people about Jesus Christ, whether they like it or don't like it. That's what the church is not doing. We're having programs, we have anniversaries, and we have big parties, and we have all kinds of gimmicks and games going on, and ain't thinking about people's soul. We're thinking about ourselves
right.
and how much fun we can have in the church. But the church is no fun. It's a serious situation. You're under a spiritual surgery when you go to church. Go in the hospital, and I'm going to close. I'm going to get the brother here. Go in the hospital and tell the man, I want an operation. And they say, well, we got an alcoholic here. You want to, no, I don't want an alcoholic operating on me. I want a professional. 20-year experience surgery to cut on me. I got to have some records. I got to have some recommendations that somebody else has got an operation from him and make it. Give me one of them. I don't want no drug addict operating on me. And when you go to church, you don't want no drug preacher to you. He ain't preaching nothing. He's doing surgery on those souls. And today, these preachers are preaching more lukewarm, half-hearted gospel. People go out worse than when they come in. It's a shame.
Amen.
The way people treat each other, call themselves the saints of God. And God said, look, you identify. God said, my holders can't identify with that kind of living. You got a problem. And my friends, those that are out there, if you got a problem, personal problem, go to Jesus Christ personally. And I think last week, brother said, you don't have to be in church to get saved. You could be walking down the road with a brown paper bag in your turning that bottle up. And somebody can come to you
Amen.
And witness to you and
That's
call
right.
you to repent and be saved and take that bottle and throw it away and go on about your business, and God will lead you. That's what kind of
right.
ministry God called the church to do. The day of Pentecost, they didn't sit around and play bingo. They didn't go down to Las Vegas and gamble up your money Anything to go down there to Macy's and buy up a bunch of clothes and then go to church on Sunday thinking you Miss Pretty Pretty or you Miss Handsome Handsome. He didn't call us to do that. He called us to roll up our sleeves and get on our knees and fast and pray that God will bring somebody in and then we can go get them. But that's what the church don't want to do. They want to play Hopalong Cassidy. That's right. They want to play Hopalong Cassidy and the Range Rock. They want to just ride on through and have their fine cars and their fine houses. And don't worry about somebody coming in the house of God. If they ain't got the right clothes in, you want to talk about it. You want to criticize it. You don't want to take them down on their knees and say, Lord, you need Jesus, brother. I'm not saying you don't need clothes, but you need Jesus first. And that's what the church is not doing. That's what the preacher's not playing. They're not spending no time in prayer. That when somebody comes in, you know how to talk to them, walk with them, and encourage them, and let them know God will forgive you of all your sins if you just turn from your wicked ways. And the church is failed. And I said, Lord, make me what you want me to be.
Amen.
Make Brother Tim what you want him to be. And that is preach the word. In season, out of season. When you don't want to preach it anyhow because hell is too long and too hot to miss heaven. And when you miss heaven, you're missing the whole purpose. When you miss heaven, you miss the whole purpose of life. Brother Tim, I want you to have all the call. Say your last words. I'll give you the last 15 minutes, brother. You got the last 15 minutes. Go ahead. Have an altar call. When you get to have an altar call, and if there's somebody out there that needs Jesus Christ in their life, need God in their life, and the only way you can get him is through Christ. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you to the Father, but by him. In Jesus' name. Brother Tim, take it over.
Amen, brother. Amen. Good word. Awesome word. Amen. Brother,
amen.
I'm so grateful for this opportunity. Amen. We just pray and hope that we are reaching as many souls as we can. Amen. And we pray and mostly hope that someone was touched by the word today and that a conversion was made. Amen. That you now further understand salvation and that salvation belongs to God. Amen. Salvation doesn't belong to men. Amen. As I said the other day, amen, someone on social media, amen, was saying something about, amen, something about once saved, always saved, and said that by works we are kept through salvation. I said, well, brother, amen, it doesn't make any sense, amen, because if that's the case, amen, salvation would be through works. But we know that salvation is not of works but of faith. Amen. It's what we believe.
Right.
Amen. It's the faith that, amen, that you are saved. By faith you are saved. Amen. By grace you are saved. Amen. By his grace and his mercy. Not by works, least any man could boast or should boast. Amen. So
that's
we know
Bible
that salvation.
Says.
That's what the, amen, that's the word. That's scripture. Amen. That's scripture.
Word.
No, nobody want to deal with that. That's word.
No.
Amen. And so, amen, it's sad, word. Like you said. Amen, brother. Amen. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. And it's just sad that people are out here preaching this stuff, and people just taking it all in. They're just sucking it all up, just believing
sucking
that.
It all up.
And that's not even scripture. Amen. It's not even the word. Amen.
Come on.
But we accept salvation through the plan of salvation, which is Romans, the 10th
it's
chapter, verses 9 and 10.
It's a gift.
So that if thou
it's
shalt confess with thy mouth, amen, it is a gift. It's a free gift.
Yeah.
Free gift.
Free gift.
Amen. It's free gift. So you don't have to work for it. All you have to do is just believe. Christ has already done what man could not do. He died on the cross.
Right now.
I didn't die on the cross.
Right.
Amen. You didn't die on the cross. Christ died for our sins. So all you have to do to escape the great tribulation, to escape hell and the lake of fire, is just simply believe. I mean, sincerely believe. Now watch what the scripture says. Romans the 10th chapter, verse 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, amen, Yahshua, and shall believe in thine heart, that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what it says. Now watch what verse 10. Amen. Now watch what verse 10 say. Now
all
verse
right.
10 is going to explain salvation and how it works. It's going to explain verse 9. Now watch what it says. It says, for
right.
with the heart man believeth. How do you believe?
All right.
With your heart. And it says that you believe
yeah.
unto righteousness. Righteousness. And with the mouth. With the mouth.
All right.
Confession
yeah.
is made
yeah.
unto salvation.
Uh-huh.
Now, preacher, you
Come
may
on.
Say, you say, now, preacher, now, what does that mean? What are you saying? Well, think of it as a loved one. Amen.
Yeah.
You tell your wife, your mother, your dad, your husband, your children, you tell them that you love them because why? You feel it on the inside. Mm-hmm. Amen. And
yeah.
because it's on the inside, you got to what? Say it. If I love my wife,
yeah.
I got to tell my wife that I love her. Amen? Because
yeah.
I do love her. And I'm not going to tell her I love her just to be saying words. I tell her that because I am sincere and truthful in how I feel. So that's what the word means when it says that, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So because you feel the salvation on the inside, you must confess it with your mouth. Because why? You believe
yeah.
it in your heart. And because you believe
yeah.
in your heart, you have to speak it into existence. You have to believe it. You say, you know what? I believe this thing called salvation. I believe that Christ died for my sins
yeah.
and that the Most High raised
yeah.
him from the dead so that
yeah.
I may be saved. Amen. That's
Come
why
on,
that's how why I know that I'm saved. Because why? I believe it in my heart. Amen.
That's
and
right.
And
that's
because
right.
I believe it, I must confess with my mouth. Amen, that is
yes,
the Lord
sir.
Christ, and that he died for my sins on the cross. Amen. I believe that.
Come
now
on.
Watch this. Now watch what Paul says.
Yeah, the
Romans, the
yes.
amen. Watch what he says in Romans, the 8th chapter. Watch what he says. He says in
All
verse
right.
35, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Amen.
All right.
He says, shall tribulation, shall, or,
yeah.
he says, or distress, or persecution, or famine,
yeah.
or nakedness, or pearl, or sword.
Come on.
Paul says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am I love verse 38. Paul says, for I am persuaded. That
All
what?
Right
neither
now.
Death, nor
uh-huh.
life, nor angels,
uh-huh.
nor principalities,
uh-huh.
nor power,
yeah.
nor things present, nor things to
Ooh.
Come, nor height,
yeah.
nor death, nor any
yeah.
other creature shall be able to separate
uh-huh.
us from the love of God, which is in Christ
Ooh.
Jesus. Amen, Yahshua. Our
Amen,
Lord.
Brother.
Now, that ain't enough
That's
to explain
power.
That once you're saved, you're always saved. I don't know what else to tell you. I'm just going to continue to pray for you because I don't know what else to tell you. Because he said, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. But he says, shall be able to separate
able.
Us from the love. Nothing can separate you from his love. So how can you lose
uh-huh.
your salvation? Salvation
Woo.
Is free, and best believe it's
free.
Eternal. Amen. St. John, the 3rd chapter, verse 15, says that he so loved the world that he gave his
Come
only
world.
Begotten Son, and that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, amen, but have not temporary life, not half of eternal life, not a portion of eternal life, but he said that you shall have eternal life, meaning that it's everlasting.
Yeah.
It never ends. It never stops
yeah.
once you have it. Amen. The Bible,
yeah.
Christ
Jesus.
Is so powerful. Amen. And I won't ever give the devil no authority over my salvation. I'll never give the devil no power
Ooh.
Over my salvation
yes,
to say that I can lose my
yes,
salvation or no devil in hell the power over my salvation because I know that Christ
on,
has all power and authority in his hand.
Ooh.
Amen. I know that he died
Great.
For our sins. Amen. And he loved us so much. Amen. And this is why this message is so powerful that we're teaching on eschatology and end time things. Because why? We want you to believe We want you to have salvation. Now, I want to share some more scriptures with you if I got a little bit more time. Now, I'm going to turn it back
go
over
ahead,
to the brother. It's very important. Amen. Amen. So I hope I won't take but a couple of them, but I'm going to try to give you
go
this
ahead,
word.
Brother.
Amen. I want to go on to Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. All right. So I want to go to Luke, the 16th chapter, and I want to share something with you. Amen. Because if you die, amen, in this life, you only get this opportunity. There's not another opportunity after you. You get this opportunity right now to receive salvation. Now, we just show you how you can become saved and receive salvation. Amen. Let the things of the world go. Because we know that if you lose your life, if you lose your soul, amen. But like the brother said, people are selling their souls, and they killing them. Because, and this is another reason that you know that time is winding up. As soon as these people are selling their soul for money, you hear about them being dead and killed within a month or two, within the same year they died. They just selling their soul from Hollywood. These artists and rappers and these people in the circular world, they just selling their soul, Hollywood, and they just selling their soul for trinkets. They ain't getting nothing, $250,000, $500,000, $1 million within a year they did. They gone. They just selling their soul. Satan killing them as fast as they sell their soul. Because
on,
you want to know
it.
Why? He knows that the time is drawing near. See, we know the season.
Yeah.
We can see. Amen. We can see it. Amen. We can see what they call the handwriting on the wall. That's what my dad used to say. We can see. Amen. We see what's going on. Now, it says over in Luke, the 16th chapter, verse 23 and 24. Amen. The brother says it good. He says, in hell you shall what? Lift up your eyes. Now watch what it says.
Yeah.
It says in verse 23. It says, and bring hither the fatted calf. Amen. I'm sorry. Wrong. Amen. Luke 16 and 23. It says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and see Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Amen. There is consciousness in hell. When you go to hell, you are aware that you are there. You are aware that you are lost and that we preached the word and you ignored it. Amen. Now watch what it says. Verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Amen. I'm going to stop right there because for the sake of time, I'm going to turn back over to the brother. But I want you to know, amen, I want to give you some more. There'll be some time next week, amen, if the Lord don't come back.
Yes,
amen.
Yes,
we still be blessed to be here. Amen. That the hell is real. And after hell comes judgment. And after judgment, if your name is not found in the Lamb Book of Life, the lake of fire is waiting on you. And it's unquenchable fire. I'm going to talk about that next. We're going to touch on that, on the things of hell and the lake of fire, because a young man once said the other week, my son, he was talking to my son. He told my son, he said, he'll get used to it. Man, let me tell you something. If you can't get used to fire on this earth, amen, he definitely lost his mind. Amen. Because if you can't get used to this fire on earth, you definitely can't get used to the lake of fire. Amen.
Lord, brother.
Amen.
Brother, you got it. You hit the nail on the head. Somebody out there right now, I got about a minute left. I got 1 minute left. Somebody out there right now needs to and repent of their sin. Don't go to hell with your sins.
Amen.
Let Jesus Christ give you his blood that he shed on Calvary's cross. And when you accept that blood through the Holy Spirit, Christ will come into your life and save your soul forever. Forever, you will ever be saved. You don't have to worry about going to hell. What you got to be concerned about is living for Christ. Living for Christ. Because one day, I guarantee you, the church will, and we want to be with Jesus Christ in heaven, and we want you to go. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved, period. Right now.
Amen.
Why don't you just give it to Christ? We'll be back next week, We'll be back with some more dynamic preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's all we know. That's all we're going to teach is the word of God.
Amen.
We're going to teach you nothing that would hurt your feelings, but we're going to teach something that will convict your spirit that you need a Savior in your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Oh, thank you for it. You pray for us,
amen,
and then come back